Welcome to the media ministry of Daniel Mattiola Ministries. The message you are about to listen to was preached by Pastor Daniel himself. Please relax, listen, and enjoy the Word of God, and let it bring light into your life. God bless you.
The first five verses. When you're there, say amen. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm going to do a countdown from 3 to 1, and then we'll start. As soon as I notice that many of you have stopped turning pages, praise the name of the Lord. 3, 2, 1, go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Bible says he is the one who heals our diseases. Turn a couple of pages to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and we're going to read from verse 19 to 21. Our God is worthy to be praised. Psalm 107, verse 19 to 21. 3, 2, 1. Go. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time, and God is good, and all the time, you better believe it. You better believe it. I want you to know this morning that every kingdom citizen, every child of the kingdom of God, must know that God has a plan, not just for your provision or your protection, but he also has a health care plan. And this healthcare plan is not a health insurance policy. It's a health assurance policy. It assures that it is well with your body. It's not just insurance for after things have gone wrong. It's assurance that things are not supposed to go wrong. But there's some little issues that I've discovered. And that is that there are many who do not even know about this kingdom healthcare plan. There are some that know about it, but they've been told that it's no longer available. They've been told that this kingdom healthcare plan was canceled in the first century. There are others that believe that it exists, but just don't know how to make it happen. Today, I want to talk to you about concepts of divine healing and the miracle-working power of God as it relates to the kingdom of God. And I've titled the message today, Healing and Miracles Through the Kingdom. Let us pray. Our Father and our King, we thank you for your word. Just a reminder that this word, this same word that you have sent, that makes us whole, this word also brings us healing. Let your word bring life and healing this day. Let there be truth and revelation released in this house this morning that will cause your sons and your daughters to be made free from any kind of bondage of the enemy. Anoint me, O God, take charge of my mind and my lips. And Lord, let every ear listening hear clearly. And I bind every satanic and demonic spirit. There shall be no distractions this morning In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. And everybody in agreement said aloud, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise the name of Jesus. We're talking about healings and miracles through the kingdom of God. Now, last week, I shared with you very briefly that there were four different kingdoms. I said the kingdom of heaven, which is the one ruled by God, is in existence. It's one we cannot see. It exists in the heavenlies. Then there is the kingdom of darkness, which is the one ruled by Satan. And I've been told it's down there somewhere. Then there's the kingdom of God, which is the extension of the kingdom of heaven from the invisible realm into the visible realm. And this is meant to be ruled by the sons and daughters of God. The Bible says that we are kings and priests unto our God. Kings of what kingdom? Of the kingdom of God on the earth. And finally, there's the kingdoms of this world, which is the one that we see physically with our eyes and can contact. And I remember sharing with you also that there is a contention going on, and the contention is for who is going to be in charge of the kingdoms of this world and have rulership over the lives of human beings. As far as Satan is concerned, he would like to have that. But as far as God is concerned, he has made the kingdom of God available so that his children can exercise influence even in the physical world. I want you to know this morning that Satan and his demons are responsible for a lot of the pain and challenges that mankind experiences. A lot of that pain is the work of demons. I was watching a television program yesterday. I can't remember what it was called, some extremes thing. And basically they were talking about, you know, young people that have very strange behaviors. And they gave it a name. There's a medical name for it. And one young girl just screams at a high pitch. Just all of a sudden would just scream. And she goes to school and just screams all the time. And I got excited. When I saw that program, I got excited. I said, thank God for whoever put this together. Because now they're profiling the work of demonic spirit. And I hope this time the church would rise up and somebody would say, doctors, don't even try. You have no solution to this. Psychologists, don't even waste your time. These are the work of demons. I call them aliens from the kingdom of darkness. And this is the time for the children of God to rise up and shine and display the power of the kingdom of God to deliver. Let them bring those people. I wish they would take the television cameras and follow those people to some anointed group of Christians and churches where they can cast that demon out of the children and they will be free and the world can see the power of God being profiled. They've given names to all kinds of molestations of the enemy. Amongst the demons are some called spirits of infirmities. They are primarily responsible for sickness and diseases in the body of humans. Jesus knew this. That's why Jesus treated healing the way he did. He didn't waste his time. He didn't ask Luke to say, Luke, please test this patient. Tell me the diagnosis so we know what we're going to pray. He dealt with it. Let's look at some Bible verses very quickly. And I'm also going to ask if you can put the first slide up, please, for the sermon. The first slide. Open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 13. Let's just quickly lay some foundations. I want to introduce you some and remind others about the spirit of infirmity and its existence. The spirit of infirmity would like to hide and not let people know that they exist, so that everybody will think every issue is a medical issue. And then when they go to doctors and doctors can't fix it, then they give up. Because that's where it ends. In Luke chapter 13, starting from verse 10, we read the story of a woman. The Bible says that now he was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. I'm sure the medical profession will have names for that. They would say there's something wrong with her spinal cord or vertebral column, and it's bent and so on and so forth. But you know, there's some stuff that they get to the place where they say, well, we can't fix this. The spirit of infirmity caused this woman to be totally bent, and she walked around bent like this. The Bible lets us know in verse 12 that when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately, somebody say immediately. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, some critics wanted to say some things about it, and Jesus gave them this response in verse 16. Go to verse 16. So ought not this woman. Actually, let me go to 15. Say, the Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. So Jesus was alluding to the fact that this woman's condition was as a result of a spirit of infirmity. In the natural, people saw a health condition. In the natural, they said there's something wrong with her vertebral column. It's bent. I don't even think doctors will. I mean, what kind of physiotherapy can you do to that? It's bent, it's bent. But the Bible said, Jesus told the woman, today you're loosed of this infirmity. And instantly, she straightened up and she was fine. Let's look at another quick example. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up. Actually, let me go to verse 2 and start from verse 2. John chapter 5, verse 2. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the movement of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease they had. I mean, just check that out for a moment. All kinds of diseases. Lame, crippled, disabled. And there's something about an angel coming and stirring the water, and whoever gets in there first gets healed. Verse 5. Now, a certain man was there who had what? An infirmity. 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Somebody say immediately. Immediately. Now I have three interesting questions for you. Number one question, what happened when Jesus spoke to both people? Because all Jesus did was speak to them. He said to the woman, woman, thou art loosed of your infirmity. Even better, to the guy he said, you just take up your bed and just go. And the Bible said, immediately, these two people with these terrible conditions. Ladies and gentlemen, there were doctors in those days. Pastor Daniel, how do you know? Because the Bible said one of the disciples of Jesus, Luke, was a physician. So the only reason why this first woman was in that condition for 18 years was because the doctors could do nothing about this. And the other guy, 38 years in that condition. And in one instant, that's why we need to pray about encountering Christ. Because when you truly encounter Jesus, in one instant, your whole life can be changed. I'm not talking about encounter church. I'm not talking about encounter religion. I'm talking about press in to encounter Jesus. Because for these two people, their lives were never the same again after this one encounter with Jesus. Take a look at that. Please go to the next slide. I saw this image too far. Please go back to the previous one. I saw this image and I was excited about it because it shows kind of a picture of a kingdom that is reaching out into the earth realm. And I thought, whoa, this really tells us what the kingdom of God is like. It's that kingdom in the heavenly realm, but its rulership, its power, its authority, its influence is reaching into the earth realm. So that you and I can live on this earth as if we're in heaven. That's why I say the kingdom of God is like the life of heaven here on earth. Next slide. This was really interesting. The Holy Spirit just, I don't know, he just does some things with me sometimes. He would just put things on my heart. He said, go research and go have a look at what germs look like and bacteria look like. And while he was telling me, I think I was in the bathroom, he was saying, you'll find out that they look like demons. And I looked at them and I thought, man, these things look ugly. Now, the interesting thing is that you can't see them with your naked eye. Next slide, please. I now noticed also on the internet, somebody had done like a cartoon or comical pictures of germs. And I said, for sure, these are like demons for sure. Next slide, please. Now, note these things. Number one, germs and bacteria and antibodies are all invisible to the naked eye. Yet, they can cause sickness and disease. The spirit of infirmity that enters the body and causes sickness is also invisible to the naked eye. And the Holy Spirit put a thought in my heart. He said, demons are angels. And angels are also invisible to the naked eye. Yet their effect can be felt in the visible realm. Could our healing confession be invoking spiritual antibodies? Because I just thought about it for a moment. You know, because we don't see this spirit of infirmity, we kind of assume they don't exist. But you don't see germs either. You can't see bacteria either unless you look under a microscope. If they were to put your hand under a microscope now, you'll be shocked at how much germs and bacteria are on your hands right now that are capable of making your body sick. The microscope can be likened to the Lord opening your spiritual eyes. If the Lord would open your spiritual eyes for a moment, and you walk around this valley, you will be shocked at the demons and the devils that you would see, and even the angels as well, that you would not see with your naked eyes. And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, liken the spirit of infirmity to like invisible germs and bacteria that enter the body of a human and cause it to be sick. And when the word of the Lord is declared, liken it to angels that are like the antibodies that go and kick them out and tell them, get out of here right now. I know some people are like, man, Pastor Daniel, where are you going to today? You see, Jesus was different from all the teachers in his time because of the authority and the power in which he operated in. Jesus would cast out demons and they left instantly. Jesus would speak a word of healing and a person would be healed instantly. In Luke chapter 7 from verses 18 to 22, please write it down. You might not be fast enough to open to it. The Bible said that John the Baptist told his disciples, he said, go find out. I want you to go check out. Go to this guy Jesus and ask him, is he the one we're waiting for or should we look for another? Is he the one we're waiting for or should we look for another? Luke chapter 7, starting from verse 18. Verse 19 says, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Look at verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. I remember when we're designing the flyer, and the Lord told me to put four words there that was bold. He said, don't care about all the religious folks that would say it's controversial. And so I put the word healing on the flyer. I put deliverance on the flyer. I put miracles there, and I put prosperity. Because religious folks in the church have a problem with those words. I've even had pastors tell me, you know, it'd be nice if you do a meeting, but don't put those words there. And I said, my assignment is not your assignment. You can sit and do your rubbish for the next 50 years. I don't have that much time to get this thing done. I'm not trying to be politically correct. I just need to stay with the word. Listen to what Jesus said. For the blind to see, we're talking about healings and miracles. For the lame to walk, for the deaf to hear, for the dead to be raised. And then he didn't stop there. He said, even the poor. In other words, there's something for the poor folks too. And what else could be better for the poor folks than prosperity? It's all part of the package that comes from the kingdom of God. Acts 10:38 says how Jesus Christ of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus was anointed to undo the wicked works of the enemy. When Jesus walked around town, he saw the spirit. He saw the infirmity spirit. And many times they saw him too. And as soon as they would see him, they would say, oh my God, here he is. And sometimes Jesus didn't even have to talk to them. Jesus just spoke to the person they were oppressing. And they heard when Jesus said, get up and walk. And that spirit of infirmity knew, man, I got to get out of here fast. I heard what Jesus said. I better get out of here fast. All Jesus said to the woman was, woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity. And the spirit of infirmity heard it and took off. The devil and his demons are no match for the power of the kingdom of God. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about God, his power and his authority, invading the earth realm and making things possible in the earth realm that was not possible in the natural. Because when his kingdom comes in, it's like microscopic power that causes the germs and the bacteria to be exposed. And as soon as they're exposed, now you take care of them. They tell kids when you go to the restroom, always make sure you wash your hands. Sometimes we don't. I bet if they ever put a kid's hand under a microscope and show the kid how many germs and bacteria, they would not beg them to do it anymore. They say what you don't know can't hurt you. It will kill you. Because you don't know that you have germs on your body that is going into your nose and your mouth does not mean that it can't hurt you. What you don't see can also hurt you. Let's talk a little bit about the kingdom healthcare. Some of you have heard me say that, you know, for quite a while, my family, no insurance policy. Not necessarily out of choice, but there was a time when we had it for like maybe 2-3 years straight, like $600 and something every month. And for 3 years, we were not sick. And we just thought about it for a moment. Man, we just wasted all that money. If we had put it in the church, maybe we would have bought some kingdom healthcare assurance policy instead. Somebody didn't get that. All right, listen to this. Number one, God has offered mankind a health assurance policy, not an insurance policy. You got to know that the health assurance policy or health insurance policy does not guarantee that the doctors can fix what is wrong. You could have the best Blue Cross Blue Shield, the best insurance in this world. And if the spirit of infirmity comes and deals with you badly, no matter how much insurance you have, it does not guarantee you'll be healed. It does not guarantee that the doctors can fix it. Because the doctors are practicing medicine to the best of their knowledge. And from time to time, they come in contact with some crazy spirit of infirmity that they just don't have any fix for, and they call it an incurable disease. So they give a person a death sentence. They now tell that person, well, we're sorry, there's nothing we can do. Well, maybe 6 months is all, or 1 year is all. Can you imagine if Jesus was walking our world today? Do you really think this foul spirit of infirmity called cancer will be devouring people like it is today? Somebody had a vision, and Jesus told him in the vision that one of the spirits he hates the most is the spirit behind cancer. It is a spirit of infirmity. It's a spirit of infirmity, and it's straight from the pits of hell, and it's destroying lives of unbelievers and Christians too. Number two, the health assurance policy is backed by the king and his kingdom's power and authority. Your health insurance is backed by some company, and they say, you know, when stuff happens, there's copay, you pay this percentage, but we're giving you the backing, we'll pay the rest. Kingdom assurance policy is 100% cover. And all those who become kingdom citizens can have this policy. It's not just for a selected few. Anybody, as long as you're a child of God, you can access this kingdom healthcare assurance policy. I worked it out one day. I said, $600 a month. Now, please understand, I'm not telling you to go quit your insurance policy. Because if you don't get this stuff, I don't want nobody suffering. I see sometimes people punish their children, saying, oh, they believe for healing, and they don't quite get it. No, don't do that. You either get it or not. But until you get it, keep building your faith. And until you get it, keep using everything that is available. God made health care and doctors and pharmacies available for our good. Because if he didn't do that, many Christians will be dead. Because we still don't know how to walk the other one yet. So that stuff helps us. Pastor Daniel goes to doctors to find out what's wrong. Tell me what kind of demon I'm fighting with here. Praise the name of the Lord. So who can heal the sick? Oh man, I got to move fast. Mark 16. Mark 16, who can heal the sick? Mark 16, 18. Because sometimes this whole thing is made to sound as if it's so supersonic and it's so difficult and, you know, nobody can do this stuff. But it's not true. Mark chapter 16, starting from verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes, somebody say believes, and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they would recover. Now listen to some of the stuff that Jesus said is going to be in the lives of believers. He said, even when they drink something deadly. What's something deadly? Something that has poisonous materials in it. Let's just say a concoction of germs and bacteria. Please don't be distracted. A concoction of germs and bacteria. He said if a believer even drinks that, it will not harm them. In the natural, we know that there's something called antibodies. How many people know that? There's something called antibodies. God's put it inside our physical body so that some germs, our physical body has the ability to create the antibodies to fight it. You don't know how many times you should have gotten a cold. You don't know how many times you should have gotten a fever. Many times it never materialized because on the inside, something fought it away. You know that disease they call AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome? You know one of the horrible things about it? It kills the immune system. So now you don't have anything fighting on the inside. And they say people can catch a cold if they have AIDS and die of it. But thank God we have antibodies. We have physical antibodies And ladies and gentlemen, we also have spiritual antibodies. And you're going to find out about it in a second. The Bible said even things that could be poisonous that should kill, if you are a believer, they can get on your skin, get in your nose, get in your mouth, and will not harm you. Why? Because they will die on contact. If you are a believer. Also, if you're a believer, the Bible said you would do this. Lay hands on a sick person and they will recover. Very simple. Very easy. The Bible didn't say apostles would do it. It didn't say evangelists would do it. It didn't say pastors would do it. It didn't say special teachers would do it. It didn't say just the apostles that would live in the first century. He said if you are a believer. Now, that's the problem. Not everybody in church is a believer. And I've got to be careful as I say this, because this is not to condemn, but this is to challenge and to provoke. Some of us are unbelieving Christians because we're yet to become believers in the kingdom of God. Some folks have been in church for years. I've listened to all kinds of sermons about David and the stones and all kinds of nice stories and jokes and all kinds of things. But never once heard anything about the kingdom of God and its power and its authority. It's scary when you think about it. Because how would God judge us preachers? When we bring people into the church building week in, week out, and we teach them everything except from the very thing that Jesus taught all through his ministry. Everywhere Jesus was teaching, the Bible said, and he taught them about the kingdom. And he taught them about the kingdom. And he told his disciples, we need to go to the next city so we can teach about the kingdom. That was all John the Baptist taught about. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. When Jesus resurrected, the Bible said he appeared again unto many, and then he taught them more about the kingdom. Paul taught about the kingdom. Why? Because the most important thing God wanted mankind to know is that you're no longer under the authority of Satan. You should no longer be defeated. You should no longer be broke, busted, and disgusted. He should have no power to keep you sick or to kill you anymore. I need you to know that the kingdom is now available. And through this kingdom, I have taken care of everything that concerns you. So many believers don't even pray when they're sick. Because nobody ever told them there was any kingdom power and authority. I wrote down in my notes, I said, every Christian should be able to heal the sick. But first, he or she must become a kingdom health practitioner. Woo! We call doctors medical practice. They spend at least 7, 8, 9 years in college learning about diseases and the medical root or scientific root of all these diseases and learning the kind of chemicals, pharmacology that can deal with this disease. They spend many years learning about the human body, the human anatomy, the human physiology, and eventually they get to the place where they're given the right to be a medical practitioner. So now they can practice. And they never stop learning, because they're always discovering new diseases all the time. And the really brilliant ones who are professors and PhD holders are always doing more research, because they're finding out more and more. And guess what? This has been happening for decades and for centuries. And they're still finding out more and more new diseases and more new diseases that they have no cure for. So if in the natural, in order to be a medical doctor, a medical practitioner, you need to devote years of your life, between 7 and 10 years of your life to study, what makes us think that we can be born again Christians and just think we're not going to study the word, we're just going to become kingdom practitioners? So if you're going to be a kingdom healthcare practitioner, not only must you become a student of God's word, but you must become a believer. You have to believe it. If the doctors didn't believe what they read, that if this person has these symptoms, give them ampicillin or some other antibiotic, If the doctor didn't believe what he read in the book, he would not give you, or she would not give you, the diagnosis they give you. If you don't believe what is in this book, you're not going to be able to practice what this book has to offer. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm letting you know this morning that there is another healthcare system. And this healthcare system is better. This healthcare system is one where there's no impossibility. In this healthcare system, there's no disease that cannot be healed. In this healthcare system, there's no infirmity that cannot be taken care of. As a matter of fact, another level, in this healthcare system, there's something called miracles. Recreative miracles. I was watching a video just about a week ago of some pastor in Florida, and they're seeing God do things in their congregation. And one day, somebody came that had one leg shorter than the other. And right before their eyes, they saw the leg stretch out until both of them were same length. Then there was a testimony of another man who had some sort of disease that had eaten one leg all the way down to just skin and bones. And he was in a meeting. And the kingdom healthcare system was provoked. And the heavens opened, and kingdom manifestation began. And this man was testifying himself. He said he just felt something going on in his plants, in his slacks, and was wondering what's going on here. And eventually he dared to touch it, and he started to feel that he didn't just have skin and bone, but flesh was coming and muscle was coming. And by the time the meeting was over, he had a normal leg. When the kingdom intervenes with the natural, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Let me give you five things very quickly. Five things. Five things you must do to become a kingdom practitioner. Because this week we're going to see it. See this Apostle Charles in different coming. I've sat down next to him sometimes and I thought, Lord, why does he think the way he thinks? Why does he believe the way he believes? When he came here in 2007, he was just so daring. He did all kinds of crazy things. I remember a morning session. He said, guys, do you want to see healing? You want to see how it works? He said, who will be a volunteer? One gentleman stood up from this side of the building. He said, you want to be a volunteer? He said, is there somebody here with any kind of infirmity? Another person said he has a back pain. He said, okay, you go to the person with the back pain, put your hand by the back pain, and said, be healed. And the woman started crying. Oh, it's gone! It's gone! I can't be. And I'm thinking to myself, man, why does this guy believe like this? And then the Lord said, because he's been a kingdom practitioner for many years. You see, the more you see God do, the more you believe. The more doctors give diagnosis and issue out medication and their patients get well, it gives them confidence when the next patient comes and has exactly the same symptom, that doctor can say, I'm going to prescribe this for you. Take three of this every day and it will make you better. Because now doctor is confident that I gave it to that other patient and it made them well. The more you and I practice kingdom healthcare, the stronger our faith and the more we would believe to be able to help people. Number one, stay away from habitual sin and transgressions. Somebody would be like, God, why is it that everything somehow has something to do with this sin issue? I'm telling you, it does. There's nothing messing Christians up today than our rebellion against the word of God and setting up our own standard from the pulpit to the pew. People behind the pulpit are setting their own standard because they don't want to live by the book, and they're telling people in the pew that it's okay to also live by their own standard, but it's costing us. The Holy Spirit showed me in that same Psalm 107 that I read to you. Remember Psalm 107 where verse 20 said, he sent his word and healed our diseases? He took me back to verse 17. He said, I want you to see what causes these diseases. Verse 17 says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquity, were afflicted. And the Lord said, didn't you remember what he said to the guy that he healed? That he said, go and sin no more. And to one person, Jesus said, go and sin no more, so that something worse does not come upon you next time. In other words, Jesus was saying that Satan is a legalist. Satan and his spirit of infirmities are always looking for an access point. And there are certain things that people can do that gives them an access point, and they come in and they hurt a person. Now, please understand, not every sickness is as a result of sin. Sometimes our bodies fail because we abuse our bodies. Flat out, you keep eating the wrong thing, your body would complain. You keep denying your body of sleep, it will complain. You refuse to exercise your body, thou shalt have body pain. You refuse to exercise to burn the fat, thou shalt have obesity. If you're not careful, diabetes too is around the corner. So we know that we are expected to be responsible in taking care of our body. So don't blame demons for everything. Don't blame demons for everything. You sleep 3 hours every day for 7 days, and then your whole body shuts down and say, man, these demons are bothering me again. No, it's not demons. It's not demons. It's your own abuse of your body. Put all that lard and all that fatty stuff all the time. Oh, it's sweet. It's sweet. It's sweet. And then you put so much fat. Sometimes I see the fat on some of the food that people eat, and I'm just thinking, oh my God, that stuff is just going to go into the bloodstream, get to the heart, and just block that place. And then you say, oh man, some demon is really, you know, the enemy is against me. No, the enemy is not. How did that thing get into your heart to block your artery? Go eat some fiber. Go have some vegetables and some fruits. And you will see that it's not a demon. I'm just trying to put some balance here. 1 John 3:21 says that if we have no sin, we would have confidence with God that whatever we ask of Him, we would receive. Many Christians don't have the confidence to pray for the sick because we're too sin conscious. We know our lifestyle, and we know, and the enemy uses it as an opportunity to say, you don't qualify. I was talking about deliverance last week and how the Bible said we're supposed to be able to cast out demons. Every believer should be able to do it. See somebody who is acting crazy and just, you know, have demonic manifestation. Every Christian should be able to say, stop right now in the name of Jesus. You foul demon, get out and let this person be well. Every Christian should be able to do it. I remember the story of a pastor who was invited to go to a mental institute to go pray for some person who had become demon-possessed. And so he decided to take another brother with him when he was going to go pray for this person. And he got in there, and, you know, this demon-possessed person was put in isolation. They were in a room by themselves in this mental institute. You know, how many people know mental institutes are just full of people who are just being molested? They're normal people. They're just being molested by demonic spirits. And the interesting thing was this demon stood up and said, okay, Pastor so-so, called the pastor by name. Said, you, I know, but you, who told you you can cast me out? Didn't you still commit adultery 2 days ago? And the pastor said he was shocked. And he looked at the person he took with him and said, really, you did? The devil knows these things. You know these things. And as a result, you lose confidence. You don't feel anointed when you are in a habitual lifestyle of sin. You do not feel anointed. But when you're living right, there seems to be like a spring in your walk. You feel like you're Superman. You're about to go into the booth any moment from now and just come out and be another guy. Number two, believe that with God and His kingdom, all things are possible. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said, for with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible to them who believe. I love the fact that he did not just say all things are possible there. Check it out, Mark 9, 23. He said, all things are possible to them who believe. In other words, you must believe. When they give you that diagnosis, no matter how ugly it sounds, you must believe that if only I can have an encounter with Jesus and the kingdom of God, I know this one too will go. And so my concern is not what they call this disease. My concern is not what the doctor said. My concern is that how can I get this encounter? How can I get this kingdom manifestation? Because I know that it is not a match for the power of my God. I just need to know, Lord, show me the conditions. What are the terms and conditions of this health care policy that I have? What must I do to be able to get myself in front of your power and your authority so that I can be made well? Number three, you must believe the scriptures concerning healing and the miracle working power of the kingdom of God. Mark 16, 17 and 18 is in everybody's Bible. Everybody's Bible has it there. Everybody has it. Christians read it. Some skip the verses. Some gloss over it. And some stop to say, but wait a minute. If this thing says I can do this, why am I not doing it? Just like they said a lot of the move of the Holy Spirit was lost after the 4th century. Because of all the religiosity and people trying to flow with. You know, this whole sacred sensitive thing has been on for a long time. It killed the move of God in different centuries and generations and time past. But here in the United States of America, at the end of the 1800s, some Christians became hungry. There was one woman in Texas who said, men, if the Bible says we can lay hands on the sick, we should be able to do it. Even better, she started with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the talking in tongues, because it wasn't common anymore. She got it. Most people don't know. Most people talk about William J. Seymour, the African-American man that God used to start the Azusa Street Revival. But most people don't know that in the history, it was actually a Texan woman that got him baptized in the Holy Ghost and prayed for him. Now, William J. Seymour became radical. And in some building called Bonnie Bray House in Los Angeles on Azusa Street, this guy started pressing in prayer. And they pressed in and said, God, what we see in the book of Acts, we need to see it again. And there was birth, this new revival that we know in history today as the Azusa Street Revival. The power of God started to move in the lives of people like never before. They started seeing healings in this house. That house is still there. Bonnie Bray House, it's been kept. It's still there. And from that place, the word of God about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit spread all around the world. Because they said for years, Christians came from all over the world to Los Angeles to come to this Bonnie Bray House to experience the baptism of the Holy Ghost once again. Because that was the problem. When you lose the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you lose the power. That's why a lot of nice Christians, they call it being conservative. I call it being dead. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you ain't got no power. You know the word, you know scriptures, but you ain't got no power to fight the forces of the enemy. And the demons know. They know Christians that have no power. One day in some revival meeting in Nigeria, a girl was called forward who was a witch. And she started confessing about how they did their witchcraft. And she talked about how they go on freeways. And how they will cause accidents to happen on freeway. I was shocked that you mean witches can do this? And the man of God said, but what about when a Christian is coming? And this witch said, well, it depends on what kind of Christian. Those ones who talk in tongues, when we see them, we leave the road. But the other ones, we know we can still hurt them. You must believe the scriptures. Out of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of healing and the gift of working of miracles and the gift of supernatural faith. Those 3 gifts are called power gifts. They are made available by the Holy Spirit. But you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit first of all to get it. Number 4, you must actively walk on your doubt and unbelief. And how do you do that? By growing your faith. Mark 11, 23. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say shall come to pass, you shall surely have it. In other words, doubt messes everything up. That's why you've heard me say it before. Anytime you hear a preacher or a pastor says, well, sometimes God heals, sometimes God does not, get out of that church. Because that is not the word of faith. It's not our business to tell people sometimes God does it and sometimes he doesn't. Our business is to say he does it. Because if I start telling you sometimes he does not, I'm already introducing doubt in your heart. This pulpit is to preach faith to the people, not doubt. Because when you need to pray, and I've been telling you it's a 50-50, why would you have faith? And guess what James said? James said a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways, and let that person not think they'll receive anything from the Lord. 50-50 faith can't do it. It has to be 100%. In other words, everything you have ever heard contrary to the kingdom of God and its power, get rid of it. And start saying, Lord, I believe. Help down my unbelief. Lord, help me get rid of all these questions and all this analytical mindset. And just help me believe you. Period. That's why, you know, the best people that God uses in healing ministry? Kids. There's an American woman in an African country. Oh, I'm trying to remember the name of this woman. Heidi Baker. Heidi Baker does evangelism on a different level. When she goes to villages in this African country, she takes children with her. She has taught these children about the kingdom of God. Heidi Baker is an American woman. She's from California, I believe. But she now lives in Africa with her husband and this ministry. I saw the videos. This is not hearsay. I saw the videos. These children, teenage children, and even younger African kids, when she goes to the crusade, you know what she does in her announcement? She goes around town during the day announcing that they should bring every deaf person, every blind person tonight. And then when she wants to start the meeting, she will say, is there a deaf person here that everybody in the community knows is deaf? They say yes, and then they bring that one. And then she calls the children and tells them to come lay hands. As soon as the air opens, the whole place goes wild. And then she says, now do you want to hear about Jesus? They say yes. The world is arguing with us today because we ain't got no more power. And so they're saying, well, why is it that it's your Jesus? While the church is trying to be seeker sensitive and we're putting the Holy Spirit, duct taping him in the back, and pastors are saying we don't want to speak in tongues in church, the devil is starting new age churches. People are looking for spiritual experiences. Now they look at the church and they say, all they do is just stand, sing, sit down, nothing spiritual, nothing powerful. So now they're going to New Age. They're going to the counterfeit because the real people refuse to demonstrate it. This week, in the name of Jesus, we shall see a demonstration of the power of God. Let the skeptics come. Let them see our Jesus is still alive. Our Jesus is still a healer. Our Jesus is still a mighty God. Oh my goodness, I've got to stop. I'm just going to say this thing to you. There's no particular formula to healing the sick. I knew I had a lot to share. In Mark 16:18, he said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. In James chapter 5, verse 14, James said, is there any sick amongst you? Call them so that the elders may anoint them with oil. And when you anoint them with oil, they would recover. There are other actions. Just based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus demonstrated that to us. One blind guy, he spat in the mud and made a paste out of it and put it in the guy's eyes. I saw another one that said, Jesus spat in somebody's tongue. And the guy that was dumb and couldn't talk started talking. Jesus proved to us that there was no formula. Some people, he told them, just take your bed and walk. Some people, he lay hands on them. Some people, he said, your faith has made you well. But one thing I notice in all of it is that the power of God is released through faith-filled words. And I remind you of the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She had heard about Jesus. She had heard the message of the kingdom. This woman had been in this condition for so many years of her life. The Bible said she had tried physicians and she had now run out of money. No more money. The natural healthcare system had failed her. But she heard about Jesus. And she chose to believe what she heard about Jesus. She chose to believe the message of the kingdom. The Bible said it was not customary for a woman who had an issue of blood to be in public. Because if she was caught, it was against the laws of Moses. She could be stoned to death. But with that issue of blood, she came out anyway. And she made her way through the crowd. And she kept saying something. Jesus was walking down the road, and so many were around him. And he had his talit, his prayer shawl over him, just walking. And this woman just kept saying, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. If I may but touch the hem of his garment. She made up her mind to believe God. She made up her mind to go with the action of leaving home. And she confessed her own healing. Pastor Daniel, how do you know this? Because the Bible said Jesus looked at her and said, your faith has made you whole. Jesus did not notice her. Jesus did not pray for her. Jesus did not lay hands on her. Nobody anointed her. The Bible said, she just said, if I'm able to touch the hem of his garment. In other words, the talit, the tassels of his talit, they call it the zitzi. Because she had read in the Bible that the Bible said when the Son of Righteousness comes, there is healing in his wings. That word wings talks about the talit. Because they knew that there were scriptures that were written on the prayer shawl. Why am I sharing this with you? Because the Lord said to tell you that many of you are not going to need anybody to lay hands on you. He said, but when you catch the message of the kingdom, you will believe it. And that condition that has been inside you all this time, you will get to the place where your faith will be so strong and you will start to confess your own healing. And like the woman with the issue of blood, you will be healed. Let's rise up. Let's rise up quickly. We're going to do something for 60 seconds and we'll be done. The Bible says in John 8:32 that you shall know the truth and the truth you know will make you free. Healing comes by revelation. Healing comes by revelation. There's no spooky, special thing about it. You will see when Charles Ndifon starts to speak. Before he prays for anybody, people will start getting healed. Why? Your faith rises and it goes over the edge and all of a sudden you just believe for faith. Somebody please help me put my slides back on. I want to just show you one last thing that we're going to do for 60 seconds and we'll be done. Please bear with me. I know it's 12:30. But this is a special Sunday. I know if you don't have any infirmity in your body, no sickness, nothing the doctors have told you about, maybe you'll be in a hurry. But if there's somebody here who is saying, man, they've told me about this condition and I've been looking for help, please bear with me for a few more minutes. I need that slide back very quickly. Go to the next one, stop. Next one, stop. It was interesting. The Holy Spirit said, just the same way he told me to go check what bacteria and germs look like in the microscope. He said, go check what antibodies look like. And so I found an image of how antibodies are these Y-shaped things, how they come around like a tumor. When they say somebody has a cancerous tumor, how they come around it and start to fight it until they kill it. And I thought, wow. Then he said, look at those antibodies again. Next slide, please, and just stop there. I noticed they were Y-shaped. And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, tell my sons and my daughters, if they believe my word and they can learn to lift up their hands and begin to praise me, and begin to praise me, where is priest of praise? We're finishing our meeting with praise and worship today. If you're not saved already, better just ask for Jesus right now because we don't have time to talk about it. Better ask for Jesus right now. If you know that your life has been going in the wrong direction from what God planned for you, you better start to say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. But the Holy Spirit showed me that the antibody is like hands raised in praise. And I thought to myself, God, what's the meaning of that? He said, those who know how to praise me, those who know how to worship me, those who know how to bless my holy name, those who know how to just give me glory, those who know how to exalt my name, just pick a song, be bold, Whatever, I will play the drums. Don't worry about this. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you ready? Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. And daughters of
yours
that will be able to testify that they have started benefiting from the kingdom health care plan that you have made available to us through Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you.
Thank
we honor you. We glorify Hallelujah. You in Jesus' mighty name.
Oh,
Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Ushers, please, as many people as want this. Just take some with you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Light for Living. Tune in again for more words of wisdom. We want to hear from you. Call us for prayer and counseling anytime. We also invite you to fellowship with us. To obtain a CD or DVD of other messages by Pastor Daniel, call us.
victory. Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. I'm walking in faith and victory.
I hope you are blessed by the sermon you have just listened to. To obtain a CD or DVD of other messages preached by Pastor Daniel, call us at 541-776-8532. God bless you.